compliment their family for a minute and just boast on them a little bit if I can. You know, I was thinking about Pastor Matt and Annie, and I thought, this couple, I mean, his wife is hardcore. I mean, like, she's got two kids, and they, like, worship leaders up here. She'll just take her kids, and so, you know, I mean, they have to trade off, you know, sometimes. But, like, you know, most people with a couple kids would not do all the things that they do. But they have abandoned their lives to Christ, and they serve God. And I'm so proud of them. And now Pastor Andrew Marshall, having Hunter, are learning all about having kids and doing everything. So they're taking notes from them. But I just wanted to just say, I'm so proud of both of you. And I know God smiles on your dedication to his kingdom and to this church. And we all so appreciate your contribution. So I want to say that about Annie before we give Matt just a welcome and a good summit welcome as he comes up here and preach. So can we just do that for both of them? Can we just give it up? Come on. You can do better than that. Come on. Come on up here, buddy.
Thank you guys. Wow. I just love this family. Wow. Are you guys feeling good? Are you feeling still full? Still full? That stuffing just never ends. Oh my gosh. We had a good Thanksgiving, and we also did some traveling too. This was our first like family road trip, and last Friday we got our kids and we got in the car and we went up to Reading. So it's like a 10-hour-ish thing. So we kind of broke it up a little bit. We're, you know, if you've had toddlers or if you know what toddlers are like, you got to time things out like really well. And Annie is a master that she was like, okay, we're going to leave at like 8 o'clock at bedtime so we can just like go from LA. We went and visited Annie's sister for dinner and then we drove up to San Jose and the kids slept like the whole way. It was like, thank you, Lord. So, I mean, we got there late at night, but we were so blessed. We had some family friends that like basically were at the same night. They were driving to San Diego to their family's house. And so they left the keys for us. And they're like, here, just go be blessed in the house. And you know, there was the wife is from Canada too. Come on, just gotta represent. So they had like maple water in the fridge. I'm not kidding. Check out my Instagram. I've never heard of this either. And I actually, it was okay. It was weird. I guess it's like pre-syrup. And I'm a lover of syrup. Anyway, so I was like, this is like almost there, but real syrup, real stuff, not just Aunt Jemima, bless her, but you got, don't mean to offend Aunt Jemima. And so we got to like break it up though. It was really good. We got to like go and then leave from there. And we visited the Coronas on our way up through, to Reading. And it was just a really good time. It was a quick thing, like a quick weekend thing, but we got to go to Bethel Church for just a normal Sunday and got like rocked there. And it was just so blessed. And then on our way back, we went through San Francisco. I'm like, let's just go on a little adventure. And we'll go around this one way that like takes you through over the Golden Gate into San Francisco. So we're like going through all these like beautiful hills and everything. There's all these cows and all these like blown away, like, whoa, cows. And then we get through like all these kind of hilly areas and fog and stuff. And then we make this like bend and there's Golden Gate and it's bigger than I thought. Like it really is bigger when you're driving over it. Like we just make this turn and Oliver's just like, whoa, like we're all just like in the car, like, oh my gosh. And it was just this massive, thing. And you could just see everything. You could see the whole city. And as we got through, I'm like, honey, I really need some coffee. We've been driving a lot. So we found this like, cool coffee shop, but on the way there, we had to go through like the city. And so basically we're like going up this hill, like just up and up and up and up. And Oliver's like, whoa. And Ivy's in the back just giggling away. Like a one-year-old's giggle is just my favorite. It's one of my favorite things. And she's just giggling away. And then we get to the top and it's like this one road intersection. And then we just, whoa, all the way down again. And it was just so much fun to just, to do that. And I grew up doing like family trips and stuff like that. So I was just stoked that we were able to go and do that and just have like family time. And we just got really refreshed and really blessed. We went, you know, to the Pier 39 and got on like a trolley, and Oliver's just like, Ollie on the trolley, just woo, like he just loved this thing because he's a fan of trains right now. It's just he, and then we went to Ghirardelli and had ice cream and just, you know, got the sugar high, and then came home. And I mean, California is beautiful. I just realized like our state is, there's some sections that are pretty boring, but we timed that out where we could be like, okay, kids got to sleep right here. Like this is nap time. This is go time for us. Like let's go. And then we made it back home, my birthday and then Thanksgiving. So it was kind of a whirlwind week in a way, but it was lots of fun. And I kind of, sometimes I miss Canadian Thanksgiving cause it's like in October. So Thanksgiving, then my birthday, then Christmas. But I think I can handle having big meals and turkey and like pumpkin pie is like one of my favorites. So it was a good time. So I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. Did you? Yeah. Right on. Well, it's so good. And I'm just so blessed to speak to you guys. You guys are my family. I love you all. And it's a huge blessing and an honor. And so let's just pray and just welcome the Holy Spirit here. And Father, we honor you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. And I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for taking us through this adventure with you. And I just ask that your Spirit would rest upon us. God, would you open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to receive all you have today for us? Would you renew our minds, Lord? Would you conform us, make us more like you, that we can impact this world, we can change this world for you and see the kingdom come to earth. So God, I pray that you would use me today to speak truth and life and hope to us together today. Would you just do that, God? We love you so much. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we already sung the song, but which was like totally what sparked my thought for this message today is may we never lose our wonder. I think that's a great prayer to just say to the Lord, may I never lose my wonder for you. Yes. And if you can open up to Mark 6, we're going to get there soon. But just the word wonder just kept whirling around in my head for a while. And I just really feel like now is kind of the time to kind of chew on that, to think about it. And I mean, the word wonder, if you can put up that first slide here, it's kind of like curiosity kind of comes to mind. And then like curious cat, like curiosity of the cat is kind of comes to mind. Maybe I'm just kind of goofing around here. It actually was an animated GIF. And for some reason, ProPresenter doesn't support that. So come on, technology, it's 2015. Like, but basically the cat is like curious and you can find, the internet is chock full of GIFs of cats, right? So you can go and find whatever and get the picture, but they're just so curious. This one is of the cat like sneaking up to this squirrel, and then the squirrel like darts at him and he's just like, yay! And cat flies away, just runs away. I just love watching like GIFs like that where they like, apparently if you put a cucumber, like sneak up a cucumber behind the cat. Have you guys seen this a lot on Facebook and stuff? they're like eating their food, just enjoying life. And they're like, okay, that was a good move. Like they just jump like super high. Like it's so funny the way that cats jump. It's a riot. I love it. I love it. Okay, serious time. No. My next slide was perfect. I think it was perfect when we were singing Never Lose Our Wonder. That like the motion background was a lot like this too. Just the galaxies and the expanse of space, I think is another thing that lets us just expand our wonder. And when I was growing up, we would go camping like every summer. I grew up north of Toronto, and then we would go like a couple hours more north to like these campgrounds. And basically at night when there's no light pollution, you pretty much see that. Like you pretty much are like viewing like little satellites. You can see like almost every star and planets and shooting stars and things. And we would just like sit in our lawn chairs for like an hour or two and wrapped up in our blankets and stuff because it was cold at night, but we would just stare up and just feel like, whoa, I'm so in awe of creation. I'm so in awe of what God has made. And you kind of just hear the Holy Spirit through that, just speaking to you. And I just encourage you guys, like, do that more often. Just go and check it out if you can. I was actually surprised when I moved here that they do a really good job of like dimming the street lights so you can actually see stars. I don't know. I just assumed California was like loads of heaps and loads of like bright lights. Even at night, you couldn't even see the stars, smog, but that I was wrong. And I love California. Another thing, we actually just took this picture of Ivy like a couple days ago. We were putting up our Christmas tree and Ollie's like trying to put the ornaments on. And basically, you know, you can only do ornaments from like here up because down here just gets destroyed. And here Ivy is just enamored with these lights. So I actually kind of like brought them over and she was just like playing with them and just like, whoa. What is this? She was just in such awe and wonder. And I love that childlikeness of wonder. And I just felt like that would be one way to, I don't know, boast about my kids too, but just give you visual examples. I love visuals and just to see, because we're curious creatures for a reason. God made us curious and made to wonder, made to think of things and to grow as mature believers in that, to explore the mystery of who he is. And with that childlike faith, I think that really couples together. There's sort of like this tension of childlike and childish. But if we can tap into the childlike, we can really mature in our life, just learning and knowing who God is. And just, you know, mind blown, like, whoa, revelation is just waiting for you. And I grew up in the church. I grew up going to church with my parents on a worship team. And so our church was kind of like, if you've heard of Willow Creek, like they're like very seeker sensitive. Like we would do dramas and do like plays and music stuff. And then around like 1992, my part of my family was involved in this church called Toronto Airport Vineyard. And something happened there. Basically, they're in Toronto and they get rocked with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. There's, I think Randy Clark was involved at the time. And I'm like 14 and my parents are like, we're going to go to this church. Like Uncle Jeremy's going to like lead worship and Grandpa's running the cameras and doing the video. And I don't even remember if my parents gave me a warning of what I would experience, but here I am, I'm like 14 and I'm sitting in like the middle of the sanctuary. They actually had to move from this little like building to this big, like, exhibition center because like thousands of people would fly from all over the world hungry for God because something radical was happening there. People were getting healed and people were like, I remember like looking at my hands at one point and there was like sparkly gold dust. And I'm like, and then this guy like over my left in the back, he's like laughing uncontrollably pretty much the whole message. He was just like, like this hearty laugh. And then this other guy on my right, like kind of further over, he is underneath the chair in front of him, his face beat red, just shouting like at the top of his lungs, and I'm like sitting there like, whoa, I don't know what is happening right now. This is wild. I mean, people's fillings were turning to gold. We would go to the bathroom and like check in the mirror and people would get prayed for and they had prayer lines and literally like someone would just, they wouldn't even have to touch them. But if they like touch their forehead, they just fall over. More Lord, more Lord. I heard that like endlessly. And I would go to like the youth conferences and more Lord, more. And people got more because they just fell on the floor and had carpet time with the Lord. And it was just something in me. Like I just felt like the Holy Spirit saying, you could be offended or you could choose to just see me in my greatness and my, like, I'm bigger than what you actually think I am. Like who you thought I am is like such a fraction of who I really am. And so will you choose, will you take my hand? I'm going to take you on a journey. And I just want you to catch that fire. Did you see what I did there? That was their conference name, Catch the Fire. I think now the church is called Catch the Fire too. And, you know, it kind of calls on a response. I want all you have for me, Lord. I want you to show me. And it's scary. It is scary too. But I was equally excited for sure. Wonder is like, the definition is to speculate curiously. You know, you see something, you think about it, and you want to know more. And that's really what the wonder of God is too. Things that make you go, you know, I think without a sense of wonder, we diminish our sense of awe and we lose our perspective on the greatness of God. It's so important. It keeps us seeking more, sort of drawing us into the unknown to know more of who he is. And one of the things that like we struggle with is familiarity. I've got kind of a goofy slide here, but it's one of those like, I thought you were one thing, but you look just like your dog. No, I'm just kidding. One of them, I don't know, it looks like kind of Kramer or something. Anyways, yeah, thank you for showing that, but I don't want to distract you guys too much. Sidetrack. But one of the things that, if you're already in Mark 6, I hope you are, because I want to read this passage about how Jesus went back to his hometown and he experienced familiarity in a really heavy way. So let's just start with Mark 6, 1. It says, then he, who's Jesus, went out from there and came into his own home country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? And that kind of takes a turn here, and they're like, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Jose, I don't know if that's Jose, Judas, Simon, I don't know, I think I got a typo here or something, whoops. and then this is where I don't understand, they're like, aren't his sisters here with us? Like, why does that matter? They get like so distracted, and it says, so they were offended at him. And then it changed it. Jesus says to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, which I think that's still kind of mighty, but I don't know. Maybe there's like levels, I guess, of mighty. But the last, you got to catch this last thing. Verse 6, it says, Jesus, marveled because of their disbelief, their unbelief. And so he went out to the villages in a circle teaching. They were totally stuck in familiarity. They were like, oh, he's just that carpenter who made my coffee table. He's just my neighbor from down the street. He's just that guy I played soccer with when I was a kid. Like so many, when you put just in front of something, you really limit it. But they weren't looking at who he truly was. They were thinking, who does he think he is? And that really limited their mindset. Instead of the people being in awe and wonder, marveling at who Jesus was, it was Jesus doing the marveling at the people's lack of faith. That's just, that just blows me away. Like that must have hurt him. Like that must have really grieved his heart. That his own family was like, he's just that, you know, Jesus, I know him. He's, you know, son of Mary, brother of James and those guys. And, you know, he's just a carpenter. Like they really limited their own mindset of what they were able to encounter because he was actually Savior. Yes. And so I kind of like, let's just call it the hometown buffet. Like when you've got like this banqueting table that the Lord says, like, I have everything to offer you, more than you could possibly imagine. Yet here's his hometown buffet crew. Like, who is this guy think he is? They're in their comfort zone. They're eating their comfort foods like mac and cheese and mashed potatoes. And it's like, there's only so long you can eat that. And IHOP more like, you know, I need a wheelchair to get out of here. Like, they were just really limiting themselves. They weren't exploring the possibilities outside of their hometown mindset. If I could kind of use that verbiage, like, it's a good question to ask ourselves. Have I ever left my hometown? Have I, like, so to speak? Because the people in Jesus' hometown never left that mindset. Would you be willing to step out into the wonder of what more is possible with God? There's so much more. And for me, when it was like 2002, it took me leaving my own country in Canada for a while for a school of ministry. And so in Toronto at they changed the name a couple times. At one point, it was TACF, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. Now it's the Catch the Fire. So they have Catch the Fire schools now, and they were called School of Ministry. And I just sense like the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to go to this school. I have so much more to like pull out of you and to teach you and to release you. I was leading worship for some years, but it was more like, no, there's more. There's gotta be more. And at one point, you know, earlier on, I thought like, oh, like I saw the students at the school ministry. I'm like, man, they're crazy. They're like, they're just out there. They're like super on fire. I mean, you ever notice that like maybe a few years back, or maybe you're there now where you see people who are just like so on fire for God, almost like you have this reserved feeling. And I had that. And then I had to change my heart. I had to be like, you know what? They've got something I want. Wait, I want to go to this school. I want to get what they want. And so I'm filling out the paperwork. And my uncle's like, well, you know, there's a school in London, England. I'm like, really? Man, Delirious is like my favorite band at the time. And I'm like, England, that sounds amazing. Okay, so like I scrapped my paperwork and I started filling out paperwork for that. And so I went, you know, over the Atlantic. Rather than like kind of still in my bubble of being in like only an hour away from home. I mean, my mom could still do my laundry. I'm not going to grow. I got to get out of this bubble. And I felt like that was the Holy Spirit like poking me like, no, get on the plane. He totally provided a way for me to like work super hard for like 6 months. And then like I got laid off because the business wasn't doing great. And so I was like, hey, seriously, it was like to the dollar what I needed for my fee. Like it was, God was in it all. And then of course I met my wife over there too. So clearly that was a good decision. But there's times where you just kind of have to leave your hometown. Leave your comfort zone, visit a different environment, take a road trip, go on a missions trip. That will blow your mind. You'll see things you've never seen before that God can do and just blow you away and take you to the next level. It's good to be challenged. You know, make sure it's not like a different place with the same stuff. Like you're not like going from In-N-Out to Five Guys. It's like, it's the same thing. Try Thai food. I don't know. Try like spicy number 5 next time. That'll burn your mouth. And then maybe you'll try something different. Maybe you could serve in a different ministry area. You know, like you guys have so many different gifts, so many good gifts and so many skills and talents. And I'm sure if you ask like a leader, a friend, whatever, like they'll be like, oh no, you would be fantastic. Like say if you're just in a moment right now of like, I don't know where to serve, or I feel like maybe I should try something different. Ask them, because there's loads of places in this family to help out and to contribute. Another thing you can do is change your tune, sing a new song, kind of change your attitude, but also declare truths over your life. There might be some untruths, some false truths that Scripture will replace. You know, it's reminding your soul of what God has done. And, you know, maybe if you're drawing a blank, listen to or read testimonies from people that you know, because testimonies just churn up and stir up your faith. And also get like an attitude of gratitude. I know we've been talking about that, and it's easy, you know, flipping through Instagram. I feel like Instagram is super positive. Don't you find like Facebook, there's some troll bridges with lots of trolls throwing hate and anger but I mean, there's good stuff in there too. But Instagram, I find like it's super positive. I think like that's really, really a good app and a good way to like kind of get perspective like globally. Like, wow, we are so, so thankful right now. Or, you know, for Thanksgiving come to pass, like how can you not be thankful? Like how can you not think of at least one thing you're grateful for? You know, you could be, there's kind of two different kinds of people. I've got a little slide for you here of just showing like, you know, you could be a person of expectation, or you could be a person of expectancy. And I love Grumpy Cat. He just makes me laugh because like, he's just like, not impressed. He's got all these expectations of life. He's got this criteria and he's stuck in a box. He's got this format of how life should be. And, you know, when we're stuck in that expectation mindset, we've got this list that is referencing the past too. It's like all these things that have happened. Well, this is how I'm going to filter my life, where expectancy is like outside of this. It's like a willingness to learn and be teachable. It's an acceptance that we don't know everything and that we need to be humble. It's an openness to the new and to the impossible things. It's seeking to discover the future rather than like referencing the past. We can move forward. We can dream. Guys, we can dream. I just want you to know, like, it's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. Stir up those dreams that you've been having, things that maybe you've written in your journal, and just pray on those things. Pray about them, that they would come into fruition, I guess I could say. Expectancy is like God's perspective, where expectation kind of leads you into disappointment. If you've got unmet expectations, then like disappointment will just be right at your door. And life is full of disappointment. Things don't always work out. But the thing is, we know the one who will never disappoint us. And we can take comfort in that. We can take joy in that. We need to be okay with not knowing all the answers, because we know the one who knows every answer. There's this blogger that I just kind of ran into, and I was like kind of searching around for some references. This blogger from Forbes.com, they put all their blogs into like this book called How to Be Interesting. And there was this one page called Childlike, Not Childish. And they're talking about wonder, awe, curiosity, and those kinds of things. And kind of the point of it was disappointment handled poorly can kind of lead to cynicism and criticism. And so what they said was, look with open eyes, remember how amazing the world was before you learn to be cynical. See the neat things, see the messy things, see the funny things. Less crankiness, more marveling. I love Wren Collective. They had an Instagram post. What did it say? It said, the fruit of the spirit, or no, what is it? You remember that? What it was? It was like, seriousness is not a fruit of the spirit, but joy is. It's like, that's so like not grumpy cat right there. Like not church curmudgeon. It's like, let's be childlike again and not let disappointment lead us to feel fear of failure. Like when I started leading worship, I dealt with fear of failure all the time. And it wasn't even that I actually failed. I probably didn't fail half the times that like I thought I did. And I would just get in this bubble. And that's the thing, is isolation is not good, because we're not getting affirmed by family and friends. We're just like boxing ourselves in and then letting the enemy just like poke at you. Like, nah, you didn't do that so well. Nah, you didn't do that so well. No. And hope and faith has got to be stirred up. Eager expectancy of good things. Yes. When we have those expectations, we can end up rejecting the things that we can't figure out. And that's one thing that like right at that crossroad at Catch the Fire Church, there's the practical that I had, like of knowing that God is a good dad. He's in a good mood. He's for me, not against me. There's that knowing who the Father really is, and blowing the lid off of like what I thought. He's not gonna be super angry at me and like punish me for every little thing I do. He's not an angry God at me. He loves me so much. And then there's also the supernatural, where I needed to be open to the miraculous and to the spiritual gifts and to see those happen and let wonder expectancy propel me into desiring to know God more. Don't you want to know God more? And just blow your mind with the things that he wants to show you. It's like peeling an onion. Sometimes there's some tears in it, but through those times, the joy and the pain, he's with us. He carries us through that. And he shows us more of who he is. And I want to stress to you guys, like, wonder and hunger of God is just so, it's like a kingdom core value that I think we all need to kind of just let that sink into us. Let that deposit from heaven. And keeping it simple, like childlike, is so good. If you can put up Matthew 18:1-5, I think one of our roles as the church is not to overcomplicate stuff. It's a simple gospel. And Matthew 18, verse 1, it says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they're like, No, I'm going to be second place. No, I'm going to be second place. It's like, guys, you guys are so childish right now. Jesus called to him, or called a child to him, and set him in the middle of the group. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not kingdom to be childish right now. But here's a child as an example of being childlike. Therefore, verse 4 says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives this one little child, or one little child like this in my name, receives me. Receive him. And I like how the message even says it. I'm telling you once and for all that unless you return to square one and start over like children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in it. Whoever becomes simple and elemental again, like this child, will rank high in God's kingdom. What's more, when you receive the child like on my account, it's the same as receiving me. It's so important to remain childlike. It's being spiritually mature at the same time. I always love to see Oliver just like seeing something for the first time and just being, he'll shout like, oh my gosh, like super loud. His eyes are wide, his jaws just dropped. And there's this discovery, this fascination. And when we get revelation from the Holy Spirit, that's the same thing. It's like, whoa, I didn't know that about you, God. I didn't know that about you. And it's just really cool. Like if you're looking at something, like God can show you and speak to you through the same thing that someone else might be viewing. Like say if Annie and I are staring at the stars, he's so much bigger than like sending one communicating one thing through that. Like we could be staring at the stars together and I receive something that Annie is receiving, while Annie is receiving something else. Does that make sense? Like, he's so big, he can show us so many different things and teach us right. He comes right where we're at. That's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like he'll use that to come to us right where we're at. So keep a sharp eye for familiarity, for comfort zones, disappointment, and fear of failure. What's our response in that? I think a really great prayer is ask him to fill you with wonder and awe. Bill Johnson, I think he was the one who said, or at least he said it before, that God shows us signs to make us wonder. You know, it might be something scary. It might be something weird, like, whoa, like, why is there gold dust? Why is this person getting healed? This just is outside of my understanding. But Lord, I'm gonna trust this is you. And it's lined up with scripture. So yeah, I think I need to like kind of just step out in faith and trust you for that, and trust you in that. And it's so exciting. I mean, it's such an adventure. Don't you think? Like, would you rather get stuck in neutral, or let's just put this thing in drive and go for it? Just press into him. So let's stand up together, and I'd love for the prayer team to come up to the front too. And you know, just as we're coming into this season of Christmas, I think it's just no surprise. Like this is a season of wonder. This is a new season of the awe of God.